Author's Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. In any business firm such as Tressida Bendigo and Company, you will usually find someone like Millie Moffat, the young lady who knows all that happens, and who, with the best will in the world, spreads it about a little. There at her switchboard, she sits and talks, and, I'm afraid, listens. Who better than she could commence our story of Office Wife?
Well, I'm telling you, aren't I? So help me, Dulce, there's a party here this afternoon. No, not out somewhere, but right here, in the offices of Tressida Bendigo and Company. And if I'm telling a word of a lie, may I be struck cross-eyed. But we all get bubbly. Yeah, champagne. Oh, hold your horses a minute, Dulce. Good afternoon, Tressida Bendigo and Company. Mr. Pilgrim, just a minute, please, Mr. Puller. I'll put you on.
Hello, Pilgrim speaking. Oh, have a heart, Millie. I thought you promised me no more calls today. You take it, will you, Marcia? Mm. All right, Millie, but make this the last. There's a good girl. It's Benny Puller.
Hello, Mr. Puller. This is Mr. Pilgrim's secretary. I'm terribly sorry, but Mr. Pilgrim is in conference and will not be available for 3 weeks. I can put you through to Mr. Hendricks. I beg your pardon? Oh, why, thank you, Mr. Puller. Yes, I'll tell him. Will you hang on? Put this call through to Mr. Hendricks, will you, Millie?
Yes, Miss Capehart.
Jeff, do you know what Benny Puller said?
Yeah.
His warmest congratulations to us both.
He did? Oh, he's a decent old chap. Everybody seems very pleased, don't they, darling?
Well, so they should be. I know I am. Mr. Pilgrim.
Oh, yes, Miss Capehart.
Seeing this is the eve of my wedding, I wondered if I might ask a small favor of you.
And what might that be, Miss Capehart?
I wondered if I could get away early so as I can change for my party.
Oh. Well, you know the firm's rules, Miss Capehart. I'm afraid I'd have to dock you half a day's pay.
Oh, I shouldn't mind that. I'll be able to get all the money I want from my meal ticket after tomorrow.
And seeing that that's so, and it's such a special occasion, you may leave at once. Oh, and this might be a fitting time to tell you, Miss Capehart, that I'm very sorry to lose you as my secretary. Who is this lucky chap you're marrying tomorrow?
My boss, Mr. Geoffrey Pilgrim. The divinest man in town.
Give me a kiss quickly. Now clear off, Bessie.
I'll be back in an hour, darling.
Oh, before you go, Marcia, I really am the luckiest there is. I lose you as a secretary and get you for my wife. You're the best secretary I ever imagined. And I know you'll be the most adorable wife. I made a speech.
And I love it. By the way, boss, better wipe that lipstick off.
Oh.
Might set the junior as a bad example.
I say, not butting in, am I?
Not at all, Harry. Come on in.
Well, I didn't want to be saying my lines in front of the mob later this afternoon, so I thought I'd take this opportunity. My very best wishes to both. Long life, lasting happiness, and herds of youngsters all over the place.
Oh, thanks, Harry. Very decent of you. Don't you think, Marcia?
Yes, rather. Thank you very much. We're having the nicest thing said to us. Warms the cockles of our hearts.
Well, hang it all, why not? People don't get married every day of the week, especially to their secretaries. I say, you'll be doing pretty well to get another one as good, Pilgrim, old boy. But your luck will probably hold. Oh, is that the wrong thing to say?
Why should it be?
Oh, nothing. Well, I'll be toddling along. See you later on at the ear bash and bin.
There's no need to hurry. I'm going anyway. I want to run home for a while.
Ah, a war paint for the party?
Something like that. Goodbye now. Bye, darling. Don't be too lonely.
Look here, Harry. Did you have to make that crack about the new secretary in front of Marcia?
You're kind of hypersensitive, aren't you?
No. No, yes, I suppose I am. Forget it.
Anyway, they'll probably give you some pathetic little biddy, or else a 50-year-old horror with steel-rimmed bifocals and a large grey bun. And, Geoffrey, old boy, could I give you a word of advice?
By all means.
Wipe that lipstick off your face. You look as though you've been savaging Mae West, or vice versa. Cheerio.
I don't know that I'm so keen about you, Palmer. Oh, well, the chap doesn't mean anything by it, I expect.
Hi there, young woman. What are you doing home at this hour?
I asked very nicely, and Jeff said I could come home and change for the party this afternoon.
Not letting the grass grow under your feet, are you, eh? You've got him organized already.
Don't you be such an old meanie, Tressa de Bendigo. Anyhow, why aren't you getting ready for the office? You will be there, won't you?
No, my dear, I will not.
In heaven's name, why?
Because everyone in the firm knows that I'm your uncle, Tressa de Bendigo. They also know that I damn near own the firm. So what's it going to look like if I'm there being polite and walking about shaking hands with my staff?
I think it would look perfectly charming.
For any of the others getting married, by all means, but not for you. It'd be like a father organizing a pretty girl competition with his daughter as the only competitor and himself as the judge. You get me? I don't want office gossips pointing to you and saying, look what it's like. You've got a little pull.
Some of them will say it whether you're there or not.
And it can't be helped. Now, before I go on practicing with chip shots, is there any last thing you want to tell me or ask me?
About Geoffrey Pilgrim?
About Geoffrey Pilgrim.
Yes, there is one thing, Uncle Tressida. Geoffrey will have to get another secretary, won't he?
Dash it, I imagine so. What's the matter with that?
Well, I know I used to be terribly useful to Geoffrey. Sort of, well, not only in office matters, and I just thought that... Well...
No, for Pete's sake, girl, what are you nattering about? What's on your mind?
Well, I just thought that perhaps if a married man had the wrong sort of woman with him in his office all day long, 5 days a week, possibly working back at night, relying on her in so many little things...
What you're trying to say is that you scared his new secretary, whoever she's to be, will grab him out from under your nose before you've been married to the chap a year. Is that it?
Well, of course not. I wouldn't dream of thinking such a thing.
Well, there you are, then. Every married executive in town's got a secretary. I've had dozens of them. Fleming's had dozens. Pilgrim must have had half a dozen of them before you came along. Well, what do we do? Dance off and marry the creatures the moment they take a message on the phone? You know, that's some sense, Marcia. Soon you'll be a married woman, and a married woman is supposed to have some sense. And to be tolerant, too.
I expect I'm being silly.
I'm perfectly certain you are. Now, if you go and change... Or they'll only be asking where I am. They'll be asking where you are, too. Now, run along and... yes, you'd better take your Aunt Harriet's car back. It's all right. She won't mind.
Well, I think you've met them all now, Mr. Bronson. Except Geoffrey Pilgrim, of course, your new boss. Cigarette?
Should I?
Why not?
Thanks.
Oh, so you're the new secretary for Tressida Bendigo and Company's bright young genius, Mr. Pilgrim, eh?
That seems to be the general idea.
Well, since we seem to have a few minutes to fill in before the prenuptial binge, you may as well have the benefit of my knowledge of the labyrinth known as Tressida Bendigo and Company. Now, the chief, old Percy Fleming, he's just a figurehead. The power behind the throne is Bendigo himself, who's an old autocrat who runs things from his golf club and seldom comes in here. And he's also Marcia Capehart's uncle. She lives with him.
Marcia Capehart? Isn't she the girl I'm replacing?
Yes, that's right. She came here to learn her way around the business because eventually she'll come into the lot. She was Geoff Pilgrim's secretary. Still is until 4 o'clock this afternoon.
And they're being married tomorrow, is that it?
Yes, they are. Geoff Pilgrim knows a good thing when he sees it. And I don't mean Marcia's face or her figure. Get me?
Well, it's frightfully decent of you to take me into your confidence on 5 minutes' acquaintance, Mr. Palmer.
The name is Harry.
Do you let every newcomer into these court secrets, or am I being specially favored, Mr. Palmer?
My dear Miss Bronson, it's just that I like to work in a friendly atmosphere, that's all. Have I said something amusing? Look here. I can be a lot of help. Palmer here.
Palmer, you might show Miss Bronson to the boardroom, would you? Pilgrim and Miss Kate Hart are here with the rest of the staff, and we want to make the presentation. I assume Miss Bronson is there in your office.
She's here, Mr. Fleming. We'll come along straight away.
Good.
Let battle commence?
Exactly. You, Miss Bronson, are about to be thrown to the lions, clothes, figure, and all. And will the lions like the diet? Especially the female of the species. Cats, I believe they're called. Feeling nervous?
Perhaps I'll do a little feeding, too. I have to meet my boss, haven't I?
Ah, my dear Miss Bronson, there you are. Come with me, come along. There they are, you must meet Mr. Pilgrim.
Geoffrey.
Miss Bronson, I want you to meet your new slave driver. Terrible slave driver, Jeff Pilgrim. Miss Stella Bronson.
Oh, how do you do it? Oh, I see, you're... Hello, Miss Bronson.
Hello, Mr. Pilgrim.
Excuse me, I'll get hold of Marcia. It's best you know each
other. It's nice to have you here, Miss Bronson. I'm sure you'll settle down very nicely.
Why, thank you. I'm sure I will, too. But I understand you're the one who's doing the settling down.
Yes. I see what you mean.
Now, this way, Marcia. Ah, here we are.
Oh, what a crush.
And this, Miss Bronson, is Marcia Capehart. She'll be Marcia Pilgrim tomorrow. So our fortunate Jeff will have you both, eh? A pretty girl at home and one at the office, too. By Jove, some chaps have all the luck.
Hello, Miss Capehart.
Wonderful.
How do you do? This is the woman the farmers found to take my place as Jeff's secretary, is it? What do they say about first impressions being the best? Well, my first impression of Stella Bronson is I don't like her. With a face and figure like that, she should be on the stage. No, I don't like her at all. And I don't like the way every man in the room is stealing those corner-of-the-eye glances at her, either. Everyone but Jeff, that is. I hope.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.